Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, it's just been announced that Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe is going to play Weird Al Yankovic in an upcoming movie. Who's Weird Al Yankovic, you might say? Well, Weird Al, if you judge it by Grammys, he's won five of those, but he's the biggest selling comedy recording artist of all time. I'll give you that again, amazing. He is the biggest selling comedy recording artist of all time. His stock in trade is song parodies, and his most famous ones include Like a Surgeon, a parody of Madonna's Like a Virgin, and Eat It, a riff on Michael Jackson's huge hit Beat It. So how did he become so famous that he's now the subject of a movie? Well, comedian Kevin Gildea is on the line now to tell us more. Kevin, you better tell us more. Welcome to the programme. And what do we know about the film that Daniel Radcliffe is going to be playing Weird Al Yankovic in?
Well, from what as befits this man's life, he's an amazing guy. So apparently, this film's been made by Rocco, which is a free channel in the US and Canada. And it's been produced by Funny or Die, Madam McKay, who did the recent Don't Look Up, and Will Ferrell are amongst the people involved. So it seems like a big deal. It's called Weird, the Al Yankovic story. I love the fact that his name was a college. He was called Weird. So I love the way that he adopted that and used it as a positive thing and then said, okay, I will be weird, and has become hugely successful by being weird. Successfully weird.
Yeah, he's weird, and he's also very it's not that, you know, the other way the kind of the new comedy, supposedly alternative comedy, came in the sort of mid 80s or late 80s or whatever it was, and you know, comedy became the new rock and roll and all the rest of it. He's real clean and real easy and never really annoys people or does his best not to and doesn't say bad things in that. Just first of all, let's take a look at the guy himself. He's the biggest selling comedy recording artist in history, as I say. What's his background?
Well, he grew up in California. He studied to be an architect, but his music sort of in the middle of it, he sent in songs. Like apparently he was just recording songs and songs, so he was obviously born for this. And he sent one into a radio show to the brilliantly named Dr. Demento, who played Unusual Records, as you would imagine by his name. And he liked one of his songs. He was saying it was quite raw, but there was bits of it he really liked. And that sort of kick-started him, brought him to attention. And then he pursued that and gradually got more sort of exposure. And his big, big break was Beat It, Eat It, the Michael Jackson one. That's where he became super famous. And you're right, he said all along that his parodies, he didn't want to really kick people up the ass or the butt, as they say in America. He wanted to tickle the ribs. So he became friends with a lot of the people that he did parodies of. He wanted everybody in the joke to get in on the joke. So I think that contributes to his obviously huge success that he's sort of in the game. But I will say that if you like a party in the CIA, which is a parody of Miley Cyrus. How do you pronounce her name?
How about Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, we'll go with that. I was parodying her name there, which is Party in the USA. And there's actually some quite bracing lyrics, if you will, in Party, and he doesn't hold back. And also, like when we go on to talk about the film, I'll explain more. There's a lot more to him, actually.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Like, I certainly remember him down through the years. I can't say I heard any more than about one album, but he was always there. And, like, the biggest thing from him was that timing was good. In other words, when MTUSA, or videos, he was huge with the videos. So I'll just give you a bit of, first of all, Party in the CIA, Weird Al Yankovic.
Everyone's so cloak and dagger. I'm feeling nervous, but I'm really kind of wishing for an undercover mission. That's when the red alert came on the radio, and I put my earpiece on. Got my dark song.
Since you mentioned the biggest one there, I'm going to play the biggest one, which people will probably remember the videos. He was going through the bar and all the rest of it and doing his bits and pieces. This is Beat It from Michael Jackson, Eat It from Weird Al Yankovic.
How come you're always such a fussy young man? Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it, just eat it.
Eat It, Weird Al Yankovic. We're talking to Kevin Gildea. And Kevin, just but I didn't realise that he was still doing all the things he's doing, to the success that like 6 or 7 years ago he got a number one album, straight in at number one on the Billboard charts. Mandatory Fun is what it's called. I've never heard it. I mean, I don't know it. Do you know any, like, have you listened to the last few days, even to some of his stuff?
I've listened to a lot of his stuff and it's really brilliant. But I mean, that's amazing that a comedy album would go straight in at number one. And that was like, I think his first top 10 Billboard hit was 30 years into his career, 2006. Mm. Like, he had to wait that long for this huge success. So I admire him so much. To go back on the video, I think it's a whole package, because it's not just the songs and the parodies. The videos are amazing. They're really, really funny. And he's a brilliant comic performer. And I think it's a whole package. And he's genuinely funny. Funny, as I think is evidenced in the one film that he made. It was made in 1989, and UHF, and it's sort of a mix-up, like Steve Martin's The Jerk, Tom Green or Pee Wee Herman all mixed together. It's wacky and crazy, but it's a general a parody of sort of American TV. There's some amazing, like Wheel of Fish is a game show. It's really, really funny. Uncle Nutsy's Funhouse. It's totally crazy. Now, I have only seen it by an amalgam of clips, and I recommend you go on YouTube and watch it, because it's brilliant. But it wasn't a success, but it shows how he could be creative and inventive without attaching himself to some model to sort of reference. So it's his own film, and I think the lack of success of that sort of floored him for 2 or 3 years, you know. But it's,
There's been various things that have taken him down. Like, for instance, there's a statistic that I have here, which is that the Michael Jackson, Madonna and himself are the only ones to have hits in America or something in the 80s, 90s, noughties and 10s as well. And I think he's got something else out at the moment that's doing pretty well. So, like, that could be another decade, in other words. Well, I mean, he does have stuff like, he did James Blunt's You're Beautiful, You're Pitiful, which I do remember and always thought that was pretty good. And also he sent stuff to Lady Gaga to get a song, to get one of her songs, and the managers never gave it to her. And when she heard about it, she went mad and said, yeah, absolutely, you can do it. Some people have said no. Michael Jackson said yeah more or less to everything except one of his big songs that he thought meant too much. But I mean, like, they are parodies, as I say. He does get in touch first. He doesn't try to sample and steal, and the tone of the songs is very gentle, isn't it?
I think the tone is gentle, except some of the lyrics in that Party of the CIA, as it goes on about destabilizing regimes and illegal assassinations, actually is surprisingly. But a lot of them are, like, his primary thing is he takes the song and then whatever will fit into it, you know, like a surgeon. It's pretty silly and pretty stupid. And he's unthreatening in a way, but he's very inventive. Like, if you look at the Bob song, like, the lyrics in that are genuinely amazing. They're all, it's that, what is that Dylan song where he has the words written on the cardboard and throws them off? You know that, Dave.
Of course I do. And do you know who's doing the throwing off? A very famous person who's a poet here. I'll just play you this first of all. Weird Al doing Bob Dylan.
Rise to vote, sir. Do ye see God? You nine man interpret. Nine man I nod. Rats live on no evil star.
Do you know, funny thing is that, like, you know, you can always, even on one or two listens, you can hear the lyrics very easily. You don't necessarily have to wait a long time to get to know. And there are those like Dire Straits and Imagine Dragons who have actually recorded or helped him out doing things. So people do like it. I suppose what I'm asking is it an honour for an artist or a band to be parodied by Weird Al?
It seems to have been a thing, like a rite of passage. And some bands have said that when I think Nirvana actually said that when he covered them, they felt that they'd actually met it. And the Nirvana one's really funny because it's all about not being able to understand the lyrics and what Nirvana.
Yeah, and the video was more or less the same too, of Smells Like Teen Spirit. Here, I'll give you a blast of that. This is Weird Al, it Smells Like Nirvana. Yeah, Yeah, Dave Grohl, amongst others, saying, "We knew we made it when Weird Al did a sort of a parody of us, all right." So as I say, like, once you do it, they felt that they'd, you know, it was enjoyable for most of the people involved. His success, I mentioned MTV. It was pretty important, wasn't it?
I think it was hugely important because, as I was saying, I don't think it's just the songs. It's a whole package.
Yeah.
Like, the production values in a lot of the videos are absolutely amazing. Like, that Smells Like Nirvana one, just the video looks absolutely brilliant. And likewise with all the other ones, it's a real lot of work. Like, there's another one, Jurassic Park. You know that one about MacArthur Park, about leaving the cake out in the rain?
Yeah, Richard Harris.
Animated.
Yeah.
So they're well worth watching just for the video alone.
And they're on YouTube.
Yeah, and often his performances, like in the Michael Jackson parodies, like, he's really, really a funny, brilliant performer. So he's well worth watching.
Yeah, in fact, something I've just been told, I didn't realise, the Bob Dylan one, which I've heard before, it's all palindromes. I mean, they are,
yes.
We make sure the words read backwards and forwards the same.
It's really worth watching that because the lyrics are hilarious. As it goes on, they become more and more surreal, and it's worth reading them because sometimes it goes so fast you can't appreciate them. So it's really worth watching that one.
Right, indeed. Now, he's also the voice of something that means very little to me. I'm sorry I have to put my hand up. Banana Man. What's Banana Man?
Banana Man is a character in one of the great animations of all time, Adventure Time. But Adventure Time is like an insane, hilarious animation that I recommend anybody try and watch. And he aptly plays one of the characters in that.
Okay, here's a bit.
You see, that's the cool thing about cars. One tiny little thing messes everything else up, so nothing works. So it's up to us to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember some of the ones. I remember he had another one, Rides the Bus, as opposed to on the Queen thing.
He's had hundreds and hundreds of songs, literally. Like, dozens of albums, won 5 Grammys. So his output has been absolutely amazing. Like, it's quite interesting that film UHF, which I've watched sort of in fragments, Indiana Jones parody, other film parody. So it's all about sort of media and the culture. And I think there's a really smart thing going on that he's even though he's sort of part of it and friends with everybody, there's a nice satire going on there as well. It's not vitriolic, but there's definitely a perception, a perspective that's really interesting. And the big thing in UHF is he seems to be making a point about imagination. The huge thing about the power of imagination. And he's a guy who's taken his imagination and just run with it for so long. And he's well worth catching up.
I was going to say, but I think you've answered it in just about every answer. As a comedian yourself, Kevin Guilty, you know, what he actually does. One of the things you seem to have harped on there a few times is the production values. He makes sure that the package is the full thing, not just the fun, but also the visuals.
I think that's a huge part of it. And I think he sort of rose to fame with the MTV and they were all about a standard of quality. And to be on that, he had to reach that standard. And I think he definitely did. That's why they're worth looking at to this day.
No. The one artist who said no all the time was Prince. He said, "Listen, I don't want my songs messed with." And a few others have said it as well. And others have actually played with him. And that he stood the test of time. I presume you're saying. I didn't even know he had an album out 6 or 7 years ago. I certainly didn't know it went to number one, the only comic album ever to do that in the Billboard Top 100. But I mean, he obviously has stood the test of time, and I presume this movie won't do him any harm at all.
You know, I think he has the test of time, but it's quite interesting. Like, he talked about having albums ready to go, but he needed that one big parody. So he was sitting there waiting for the big song of the summer to come out or whatever, which is quite an interesting place to be. You would imagine that's not very creative. But he was waiting for that one spark. But what he does with the songs and the videos he creates, they become like their own sketches. And they have their own sort of, they don't need the reference. They stand on their own. That's why I think he has longevity.
Yeah, and since like a major tragedy in his life back in 2004, when both his parents were found dead in their house from carbon monoxide poisoning over in California.
Yeah, well.
So, Kevin Guilty, let's take a look at Kevin Guilty. By the way, the movie's going to come out sometime soon enough, I presume, and it will star Daniel Radcliffe, as in Harry Potter, etc., as Weird Al Yankovic. Kevin, the brilliant bookshop, Kevin Guilty's brilliant bookshop on Lower George Street in Dunleary. Is that yours?
Yeah, you put two and two together.
I did. I'm good.
You're like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a secondhand bookshop. I've been open since October 2019, though obviously there's been a lot of lockdown time there. And we're open for sale of quality secondhand books, Emporium.
Indeed, in Lower Georgia Street. Well, listen, well done. Thanks. And Kevin, back to gigs now. Everything back open now. Freedom Day yesterday or whatever it was.
I started doing gigs again, doing a lovely one in the backyard in Ballybrack in February. But hopefully this is the beginning of the end of the...
All right. Well, listen, Kevin, good luck on stage and good luck with the brilliant bookshop in Lower Georgia Street in Dunleary. Thanks a million for talking to us, Kevin. Good man yourself.
Cheers, Dave.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.